This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. President Obama's secret Iran deal exposed.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
They concocted a false narrative that with the election of Rouhani, a moderate who really wanted to have an opening, this was a once-in-a-generation opportunity for America to seize this day, strike a deal with Iran, even though they're the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism, and bring peace to the world. That was all false.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This started before Rouhani was elected. He's not a moderate. This was a deal made in conjunction with Iran's hardliners. And as we're seeing now with how they're behaving, it is benefiting Iran's hardliners.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, I just said it's a fraud committed on the American people, and that was the whole situation with President Obama's administration hiding intelligence on Iranian militants in Syria. And how they got there was utilizing Iran Air, which the United States government lifted sanctions on. They lifted sanctions on Iran Air, and Iran Air starts running militant jihadists to prop up the regime of Bashar al-Assad. Now, this all comes at an interesting time. It's been completely exposed now. Photographs provided to Congress show Iran using Iran Air to take jihadist soldiers, even this year, by the way, as recently as this year, in part when the Obama administration removed sanctions on Iran Air and promoted a multi-billion dollar sales between Iran Air and aircraft manufacturer Boeing, which is seeking to provide Iran Air with an updated fleet. Now, this behavior violates international law, no question about it. We're going to get into that. But the Obama administration lifted sanctions against Iran Air as a political concession during the Iranian nuclear talks. Now, they're now utilizing Iran Air as a vehicle to convey, to transport militants into Syria and to destabilize the region. Now, having said all of that, that comes on the heels of our case against the State Department exposing the whole false narrative on the Iran deal, where the federal government took the position and at least got the narrative out there that with the election of the so-called moderate Rouhani, the president, that this was a time to negotiate a deal. However, James Rosen from Fox News was able to establish that, in fact, video had been edited that took out the timeline, the date of when the negotiations actually started with Iran. And guess what? It predates Rouhani. It was during Ahmadinejad, who they deemed to be the more radical of the two. Having said all of that, it was all a pretext to lift the sanctions, that this was somehow going to establish world peace. Yeah, really? What they did was start ferrying, again, militants, jihadists, into Syria. So this tells you the whole narrative was incorrect. Now, we went to federal court on that. And actually have email exchanges on this. I'm going to get into that when we come back from the break. But in the beginning, the State Department said, when we found the video that James Rosen produced, Logan, the State Department said, oh, it was a technical glitch. We now know unequivocally, folks, that that is a false narrative, and we know something else.
I mean, we always knew it was. I mean, I think right. That's one of the things, if you've edited a video on your iPhone, you knew this was something that had to have been intentional. This could not have been something that just randomly occurred unless your computer is possessed. I think that'd be the only way for it to actually just happen. So, you know, you couldn't have done that. So, again, I know you guys have a lot to say about it, but I'm curious what the facts are, what we learned, but you can call us 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, we want to know your reaction to all this at 1-800-684-3110. And then part of the – we did get emails that explained some of this. So in our FOIA litigation, we'll go over that litigation in a moment. But one of the documents – ready for this? They claimed presidential communication privilege, which is a privilege of the executive. We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be joined by our senior policy director, or director of policy, Harry Hutchison, and senior attorney, counsel Andy Economo, who's also a former U.S. attorney. We're going to get into this at great length. We've got a lot of information to share. We're taking your calls on all of this. 1-800-684-3110. What was the Obama administration up to? We want your ideas on this. 1-800-684-3110. Let me also say we are in the last day of our matching challenge campaign. There's an email that's out right now. Guess what it's on? Issues involving things like this. The State Department, what they were up to, what was going on, and who was responsible for the action. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Back with more in just a moment.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Case called ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice versus the Department of the State. It is seeking records regarding the doctoring of Iran, of the Iran deal press briefing video. Let me play for you what James Rosen said on that. It's number 26. This is with Jen Psaki. Let's take a listen.
James, I have no new information for you today on the timing of when there were any discussions with any Iranian officials.
Let me try it one last way, okay. Jen, and I appreciate your indulgence.
Sure.
Is it the policy of the State Department, where the preservation of the secrecy of secret negotiations are is concerned, to lie in order to achieve that goal?
James, I think there are times where diplomacy needs privacy in order to progress. This is a good example of that.
All right, so let's go now to, let me tell you exactly what this is. So we were trying to figure out what happened with this video editing that was taking place. They were hiding something. Well, now we know what it was. It was the start date of the negotiations. They actually took place, unlike the narrative that they were trying to create, it actually took place under Ahmadinejad, who was the more radical, if you could say that, between Rouhani. They were trying to say, well, Rouhani's in, he's more moderate. That's why they started negotiating. It was false. It was completely false. We had in our FOIA requests in our litigation that we started with the State Department on May 12, 2016. The lawsuit was, FOIA was filed on May 12, 2016. Lawsuit was filed on June 28, 2016. Document production, state made five productions totaling 745 pages of documentation, one in which included a presidential communication privilege. I'll get to that a little bit later. But the one we did get, we got a sensitive but unclassified document. It's a sensitive document. Department of State's review of December 2nd, 2013 daily press briefing. In it, it acknowledges that a technician from the Public Affairs Office recalled having received a request to edit the video over the phone from a female caller from elsewhere in public affairs who could credibly assert that an edit should be made. The technician did not recall the identity of the caller. The technician did not recall the reason being given for the edit request, but did believe that the requester had mentioned in the course of the call a Fox Network reporter and Iran. Now we know that Iran, under the sanction relief, Andy Economo, was getting access to move their militants back and forth.
That's correct. And not only that, Jay, but what I find particularly egregious and awful is that John Kerry, the elitist liberal Democrat Secretary of State under Obama, was traveling around the world to promote trade with Iranian companies, including Iran Air. At the same time, Iran was sending these militants into Syria. And the whole goal here was to preserve the nuclear deal. Do whatever is necessary to get this nuclear deal through.
Okay, I'm going to go to Harry Hutchison, our Director of Governmental Affairs, and I've got a question for Than Bennett, but let me go to you first, Harry. And that is, what's the narrative reason here? Why were they doing this? What was President Obama thinking?
Well, essentially, President Obama was engaged in collusion to hide something very, very important. In other words, his collusion with the Iranian government, and he wanted to deceive the American people. So essentially, if we think about this, the Obama administration was negotiating with an Iranian radical.
Right.
Keep in mind, Iran is the leading state sponsor of terror in the world.
Right.
They wanted to ferry militants to Syria. So let's keep all of this hidden. So this is all part of a pre-arranged, premeditated plan and process to deceive the American people. And up till now, President Obama has succeeded in his deception.
Well, this is why we're going into this information, folks, and that's the reason we're in federal court. Let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs in Washington, D.C., because Than, Congressman DeSantis, Congressman Roskam, have all talked about this. There's a request for maybe ongoing hearings right now. We, of course, have been successful in federal court. This is another one where we got information, folks. Sometimes you don't. This time we did.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's also a letter going to the Department of Treasury with the photographic evidence that you've been talking about, Jay. I mean, it's so compelling. You've got the photos of these jihadis literally flying coach, and then you've got pictures of them in the battlefield engaging in jihad against their enemy. I would just say this, though, and I want to underscore something that Harry said. The Obama administration, Jay, was not tricked into this, and we know this for a fact because of our case, and we also know it because you can compare what we got against the backdrop of what Ben Rhodes did. Ben Rhodes not only admitted, Jay, he bragged about the fact that they lied to the American people to make sure that this deal went through. They were not tricked into this. They knew that it was a fraudulent deal from the beginning, and they went through with it anyway.
Let me hold up for our audience that's watching on Facebook and Periscope, our TV, our networks. I'm holding to you the federal lawsuit. This is what we filed. And then we've got about 745 pages of response. One of those responses, Andy, has in it an assertion of a presidential communication privilege. And what's interesting to me about that is, of course, those privileges do exist. And there's reasons for them to exist. I don't deny it. But it was all related to the timing. This was December 4th of 2013. And this was on the issue, again, of people trying to figure out what exactly was going on here. But for the White House to assert the privilege, which they have the right to do, I certainly don't question privileges. The fact is, what's interesting here is one document contains a redaction pursuant to presidential communication privilege. The email is an exchange between State Department officials and the National Security Council's officials regarding a reporter's inquiry regarding state officials' secret meeting with Iran officials. So this whole matter at this point, there was a narrative out there. It just, none of the facts supported the narrative of what the president was putting forward.
No, and in fact, the president knew about it. I mean, if you're asserting presidential privilege, that means you had communications with the president. I mean, how else could you assert the privilege? So obviously, the president was aware of what was going on at the time it was going on. And you can't, and that's undeniable. But he was so determined to get this nuclear deal with Iran through that he was willing to sacrifice and do anything, including lying to the American people, which is what he did.
We have a lot of calls coming in, a lot of comments coming in on Facebook and Periscope, a lot of people watching on Facebook and Periscope. Our radio audience is responding as well. So we're kind of firing on all cylinders here. Let's go ahead and start taking some calls and comments.
Let's go to Scott in Colorado on line one. You're on the air.
Hi, Scott. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, great, guys. Thanks for my call. Thanks, Jay and Than, all your work. My question is this. You know, apart from the seeming affections that President Obama had towards Islam, as many have noted, that's not a new observation.
Yeah.
Was another motive to rearrange the balance of power in that area, ultimately to maybe take down Israel and even rearrange our alliance with Saudi Arabia?
Well, he certainly doesn't, you know, President Obama was no fan of Benjamin Netanyahu. We know that for a fact. But Scott brings up a really great question, Harry.
Absolutely. And I think he's absolutely correct. President Obama was committed to destabilizing pre-existing arrangements in the Middle East. In other words, we, for a long time, had a strong relationship with Israel. We were a strong supporter of Israel. President Obama wanted to shift American support to the Muslim communities, particularly the Iranian communities. And so he engaged in deliberate misconduct, in my opinion. If you look at the video, if you look at the State Department response to our request, they admit that the video was deliberately edited, yet they cannot reach a conclusion as to why.
Yeah.
It was edited on purpose in order to deceive and conceal information from the American people. And also, the Obama administration was committed to deceiving the American people about its shifting American support toward Iran, favoring Iran, disfavoring Israel, and disfavoring Sunni Arab countries.
Yeah, so let me ask you, and this takes the next step. This is why these lawsuits are relevant now. Because right now, today, as a fallout from all of this, Andy, we have these militants utilizing, it's like using, utilizing, the Iran Air is the national air carrier, civilian air carrier of the Iranian army.
Jay, as you know, it's against international agreements and violates them. And our commitments commitments that we have with respect to international relations, that you don't use commercial airlines for the purposes of ferrying military personnel across the world and to engage in anything.
And this isn't like your standing army. This is your military jihadists.
I mean, these were people who were trained to do what? Terroristic activities.
Right.
And you're using a commercial airline. It's like using Egypt Air, like using Air France. Think about that.
Yep.
Like using American Airlines. To do this. These are national carriers that are being used to take terrorists to fight.
So, Than, the important part here is what we've uncovered in our lawsuit, and people say, was it relevant today? This, the jihadi travel is going on right now, and this is a result of what happened in 2013, 14, 15, and 16, and our lawsuit is the reason why we're finding all this out.
Look, it's bad enough that Iran is doing this, Jay, but they did it with the knowledge of the United States. And it's very possible that officials within the United States government that knew about that are still working there. Remember, the result of our lawsuit said that someone was negligent. Jay, was everybody that was negligent fired? We have no evidence that they were. That's one of the things that we want.
All right, well, yeah, go ahead.
You got a comment you can maybe answer as we head to break. Jan says, his plan has been exposed, so what happens now?
Well, again, this is exactly what we're going to get into in the next segment of the broadcast. So now we are starting to be able to piece this together. What do? You have to undo the policies so this doesn't continue. We'll talk about how that's done. We're going to talk about also what we're uncovering here. This is deep, and why we're going to go back into federal court on this, folks, and get more information. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break, 800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. Last day for that. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
So a lot of you are asking us the question. We filed the lawsuit. As I said, I got the federal lawsuit here. We got a response. The response included documents that are sensitive but now unclassified. This document shows that the State Department intentionally edited the video to determine when, in fact, these negotiations with the Iranians held. So this litigation was filed last year. We started getting the responses. But now, why is it relevant to right now? Because right now, Iran Air, who was taken off the sanctions list, they are now utilizing their sources, their air carrier, to get individuals from Iran, jihadists, warriors, terrorists, into Syria, and who knows where else. Also at the same time, Hamas said on Monday that they have repaired relations with Iran after several years of strain and will use restored military and financial aid to face down hostilities with Israel. So you look at this, and I was asking Professor Hutchison, our director of policy, but before the break here, we were during in our break with Facebook and Periscope, why all this is happening. And my question is, what is the impact on Israel?
Well, the impact, I think, is very, very clear. In essence, the United States has unleashed the floodgates of funding for Hamas. That is part and parcel of this process. So in other words, the Iran nuclear deal serves to legitimate Hamas, a recognized terrorist organization and an opponent, an existential threat to Israel.
And they also, Andy, take the State Department takes Iran Air off of the sanctions list.
That's important, Jay. That's very important, because what they do is they take them off the sanctions list and promote deals with, and let's say it, it's true, Boeing aircraft.
Yeah.
In order for them to be able to enter into more engagements with Boeing to buy aircraft. To do what? To act as military transport planes.
Yeah. To destabilize the region that's already destabilized.
Exactly correct. It's already precarious.
So litigation that started last year on events that started 3 years ago under a previous administration become very relevant, because then now you got to go back in and fix this. And that includes going, as you said, we got to go deep.
Absolutely. Well, look, two things I would say. First of all, this letter that Congress wrote to the Treasury Department says, and this is an Obama official talking, that even under the deal, as weak as it was, the United States maintains the ability to designate or redesignate any Iranian airline that engages in sanctionable activity. Jay, we now have photographic evidence of that. So that's number one. But number two, all of the people involved with this, Jay, they need to never touch another foreign negotiation.
Yes.
And you know what? We need to find out those names, because unless we do, they will touch another one.
All right, we're going to go back and take some comments and calls. Logan, you want to take a comment or a call?
Let's take a call. We've had Rod, who's been on hold for a while in Indianapolis. You're on the air.
Hey, Rod, go ahead.
Hey, Jay. I just wanted to call in and find out a couple of things. I mean, from what you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
And I see where you're pulling all this stuff out. You know, we keep hearing this stuff, but I'm not seeing nobody go to jail, go to prison. All we keep hearing is how all this stuff is going down. Then they follow up by coming back on our president and trying to lead us away from this stuff.
Yeah, well, let me tell you this, though, Rod. I mean, I said this last week. You talk about results. I mean, look what happened in the IRS cases. Yeah, right. No one's in jail. But the IRS of 2013 is not the IRS of 2017. Okay? They're not able to do what they used to do. They're not able to target like they used to target. Lois Lerner's not heading the tax-exempt organization. Yes, she pleaded the fifth. She had the right to do that. She pled the fifth. But let me tell you something. The litigation and the activities have real consequences. It's not always resulting in jail. I mean, and people are looking at this idea that it results in criminality. Most of the time, it's policy changes. And, Harry, those policy changes can be very significant. And we've uncovered a lot here between our FOIA litigation, the documents that we've received, articles that are coming out. We've been able to put together, as Stan just said, a very compelling case. But it's not just jail. It's changing the nature of the policy. That's more important than any of this.
Absolutely. And so one policy change that we should encourage is the placement of sanctions on Iran Air, and also increasing the level of sanctions on the Iranian government designed to deter additional support for terrorist organizations and destabilization in the Middle East.
All right. Let's go ahead. And we're taking calls at 1-800-684-3110. What's your comments, reaction to all of this? 1-800-684-3110. Logan, you want to take a phone call or a comment?
Let's still take a phone call. I think we need to take
clear some lines up and get people to call.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Especially as we head into the next half hour of JSecure Life, which is coming up after this. And if you don't get that, I'll tell you how in just a moment. Let's go to Nancy, California. You're on the air.
Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi. Hey, I'm just wondering. So, like, Jason Chaffetz talked yesterday about the whole thing with Sessions and how he told him directly that he cannot and will not loosen things up. What can we, the people, do to make this happen? Because, like, nothing seems to be going forward.
Well, things are going. That's what I'm trying to reiterate. Things are going forward. I mean, we've seen a complete agency turnaround at the IRS, at least, very significantly. And then I think that, but Nancy raises a good question. The question is, now we've got the data, but look, it takes time to get the data. Now you make the moves. Let's lay out for the folks exactly what we're doing in Washington on this, literally right now as we speak. We're talking about this, but again, it doesn't mean people are going to be indicted. It doesn't mean jail. It's policy changes. It's personnel changes. Go ahead, Than.
It's also going to take some time, Jay. People have to be willing to persist in this fight with us because it's going to take going to court again and again and again, and also going to policymakers and insisting that they make changes. Look, let me say it this way. Lois Lerner being gone is a huge win. James Comey being gone is a huge win.
Right.
But guess who is still in place? Legions of people that answer to those two individuals, and also at the State Department with this situation, Jay, we have to persist until the turnaround has reached all of those mid-tier levels. And I've got to tell you, our people are going to have to stick with us because we're going to have to go back to court numerous times. It's not one win, it's many wins that accomplish that.
Well, Andy, we were on the phone right before we went on air, and we're talking about the next piece of litigation on this.
That's right, and we intend to follow up on this now that we have additional information with respect to the negotiations between Iran Air and Boeing, the lifting of the sanctions that now facilitated those negotiations of using commercial airliners for military purposes. One step leads to another, Jay. You open one door and you open another window, and you follow the line of reasoning and where it needs to go. And that's exactly what we do at the ACLJ.
Yeah, and folks, we're able to do this on the outside. I mean, this is why organizations like yours make a huge difference.
This is a question that comes up a lot. A lot of people are asking. It came up a year ago, two years ago, we talked about this, which is why would the president, that time President Obama, want to work with a nation like Iran? What was the benefits?
They had, my view is, I'll let Harry address it too, though. My view was that the president wanted to remake the world in his image, and he thought that by bringing Iran into the world of nations as a legitimate player, that somehow this would be, you know, we would stabilize the region. It's done exactly the opposite, in my view. But Harry, what is your view on this?
Well, I would add Russia to the equation as well. Initially, I believe President Obama thought he could reach Russia through Iran. And if you think about it, he has reached Russia through Iran in terms of this Iranian nuclear deal, because the Iranians have purchased billions of dollars of military supplies through Russia. It hasn't worked out perfectly, even according to the Obama scenario, but one of the great things about President Obama is that he was gifted with lots of illusions. And his worldview ultimately will and should collapse.
All right. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. It's the last day. If cases like this make a difference for you and for our country, then help us. Join us at ACLJ.org. You can donate there. And any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org. We're here for another half hour. Logan's going to let you know how you can get all the information.
That's right. If you want to find us, we're broadcasting live right now online. That's at ACLJ.org and on social media, Facebook.com/JSeculo, Twitter at JSeculo. You can find us on Periscope as well. You can also get us archived later on the ACLJ app.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Freedom.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Let me reset the program for you here so you understand exactly what we've got. We filed a case entitled ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice versus the Department of the State, on June 28, 2016. We were seeking records regarding the doctoring of an Iran video or a press conference involving the Iran deal that our friend James Rosen did, where they took the date out. They just edited out the date of the discussions because they were had a narrative, the Obama administration, that in fact the discussions were concerning with the election of Rouhani, who was supposed to be more of a moderate, that this was the time to get into negotiations rather than dealing with Ahmadinejad, who they acknowledged was a radical. Well, in fact, it ended up being that the negotiations for the Iran deal were taking place during Ahmadinejad. So that was bad. We uncovered that. We uncovered the fact that it was an intentional edit. In fact, in our FOIA litigation, as part of a release pursuant to court order, we received a document that was deemed sensitive but not classified that acknowledged that this was an intentional act. It was done by the Public Affairs Office. A technician was told to do it, was not given a reason other than something about Fox News and a reporter. So he took the action and deleted the video to fit this narrative of the president. Well, we now have evidence, and this has been reported widely now, that in fact Iran Air, and this I think is very important, which is a civil commercial aviation, that's like American Airlines in Iran, that the Obama administration actually hid intelligence on Iranian militants in Syria going via Iran Air. And lo and behold, Andy Economo, former U.S. attorney, right. That was because sanctions were lifted on Iran Air this whole process.
We're going to lift the sanctions on Iran Air. We're going to permit negotiations between Iran Air and Boeing so that they can facilitate the purchase of more aircraft. And let's also realize that as Representative DeSantis has said, the Obama administration was shipping, and his use, pallets of cash to Iran. I say bushels of billions of dollars, where in exchange for which the mullahs were sending militants, to wage jihad in Syria. And what were they using? They were using commercial aircraft bought from a United States manufacturer.
Yeah, I mean, unreal. And that was because sanctions were lifted. So, Than Bennett, the next question is, what's next here? Who are we holding accountable? Congressmen are already talking about it. Who's held accountable here?
Well, there's two layers. We have to insist that the Congress pressure both the executive branch and then also others to reinstate Iranian Air as in violation of this. Listen, I put it this way. Jihadis were literally flying coach. You can't get a more clear violation than that, and we have photographic evidence. But I would just also back up and say this. On a policy level, Jay, we said from the very beginning that Iran would not comply with this. Now we know that the United States government knew they would not comply with it. Ben Rhodes admitted that. But now we know just how bad it was. It wasn't just about, you know, moving commodities. This was literally about moving jihadi fighters into a region to engage in warfare. Jay, that cannot stand. Yeah. And our lawmakers, our elected officials, better pay attention to this because it involves national security to the nth degree.
So, Harry, policy-wise, what was going on here?
Well, essentially, we have deception all the way down. So if you start, for instance, with the video, we had a deliberately edited video, but yet the State Department denied that the edits were designed to hide the Obama administration lies. So that's a clear contradiction right there. Secondly, we have evidence that the State Department and the Obama administration hid information with respect to Iran using the deal, the Iran nuclear deal, as the basis for transferring terrorists, jihadis, to the Middle East to destabilize the region. The Obama administration apparently knew about it. The Obama administration nonetheless continued to promote the Iran nuclear deal. Why? Because the Obama administration was committed to a deceptive narrative all the way down, a narrative that makes no sense.
And we're seeing it. So you're saying, well, that was the previous administration, but Iran Air is used today to shuttle jihadists into the region. Today. So this isn't just old news. This is a policy that you got to relist Iran Air as sanctionable. All right, we're going to take your calls and comments when we come back from the break. Logan?
Yeah, also exclusive videos coming up in the break. If you're watching online, you don't have to sit through commercials. You get to watch an exclusive video where you get to talk to us. Either way, we'll be right back with more on JSecula Live.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever.
At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back. Taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. So what was the Obama administration up to, and why are we now paying the consequence for it even today, as the reports are that in the Washington Free Beacon that Iran Air sanctions were lifted against them in 2013, 2014, now using their airline to ferry jihadist soldiers even as recently as this year because of this change in policy? This is pretty dramatic stuff. Congressman DeSantis went to the floor of the Senate, or Senator DeSantis. This was DeSantis as a senator or congressman there?
Congressman DeSantis.
Yeah, so I think we just got that wrong. So I was shocked. Why would he go to the Senate floor? Went to the House floor and said this in almost a year and a half ago.
This started before Rouhani was elected. He's not a moderate. This was a deal made in conjunction with Iran's hardliners, and as we're seeing now with how they're behaving, it is benefiting Iran's hardliners.
Well, and it's exactly what is exactly and precisely what's happened here. So I do want to go to what happens next. So, of course, we're going back to federal court with additional information now, additional requests. But this is Harry said this during the break. The Freedom of Information Act litigation we initiate and we get responses from can, in a real way, impact policy. Why?
It can drive policy because you expose, the ineptness. Secondly, you expose the lies. And then you identify the individuals. You remove them from office. But you also change the policy. And clearly here, we need to reimpose sanctions on Iran Air. Iran Air is arguably a terrorist organization. So we need to put sanctions back on Iranian Air. And secondarily, we need to impose or reimpose greater sanctions on Iran.
So, Fan, is the reality of that now when we're looking at all this information we've got together? I've got a desk full of this. I mean, we've really put an analysis here together, and I think we've really built a solid case, and we're getting real results. But now it's time to get changes. And that's what Harry was just talking about.
Well, on the first point, I don't even think it's arguable anymore about Iranian Air. I mean, we literally have photographic evidence in our hand that they are flying jihadis on commercial air. So they need to be redesignated as a terrorist organization. And, Jay, one of the first things that we will do is reiterate what the Congress is saying, that even the Obama administration, when they were arguing for this deal, said that the United States would retain the ability to redesignate. So that has got to be the first thing that happens, and it can happen at the Department of Treasury. But, Jay, it's got to go beyond that, and this is the part that's going to be up to us. We have to identify the bureaucrats that are still there so that they can quit hiding this information. We can get it all out there, and we can, again, protect the American
people.
So,
Andy, what I want people to understand, then Logan will take some phone calls and comments. So this is litigation we started last year on activity that took place starting in 2013 and 2014. And someone said, what does that have to do? Why are you talking about the previous administration? Because the impact of those policy changes by that administration are having an impact in 2017, including the ability to utilize the Iran Air to move militants back and forth.
That's
because
exact.
We think they're just going to Syria? Guess again.
No, they're going to more places than just Syria. If they're using military transport, I mean, civilian aircraft to transport, they're using it to more places than just Syria. They're using it to export jihadis and terrorists to every part of the world that they possibly can. And the Obama administration facilitated and promoted that. We need to make them to say that loud and clear. And we have exposed that in our FOIA litigation. And we do that every day that we bring these cases, Jay.
All right, let's go ahead and go right back to the phones. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We'll take some comments as well from Facebook and Periscope. But let's grab a couple calls,
right,
Logan.
Let's go to Jamie in Oklahoma online, too. Jamie, you're on the air.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks, go ahead. You're on.
Hey, guys. I wanted to ask the question. With Iran wanting to literally destroy Israel, I've got two-fold question here, and Obama's interference with, trying to interfere with the reelection of Netanyahu, for one, why would he be wanting to do this, and who was he wanting in for his strategic chess game moves? How does this all play into Netanyahu?
So here's what was happening. He was trying to defeat Netanyahu because he viewed Netanyahu as an impediment to peace between the Palestinians, except he was the duly elected prime minister of the state of Israel. And in another one of our FOIA cases, we know that money from the State Department, taxpayer money, went to an organization that was basically running the campaign against Benjamin Netanyahu. And that came from your taxpayer money. And then the State Department's response was, well, that was a mistake. So that's number one. Number two, from a policy perspective, they wanted a more left-of-center individual that would not take such a hard-line stance against Iran because, remember, Netanyahu said Iran is an existential threat against Israel. And we have an office in Jerusalem. I do a lot of work. We do a lot of work in Israel. I've talked to military leaders and government officials in Israel, and they will say, with regard to Iran, that the Israelis do not have the option to think that they would go nuclear if they could, the Iranians. That is not an option. So that's the reason why this became so significant. But I've got to tie it right back to today. But that policy impact decision today is having, as Andy just said, real consequences right now.
Yes, they do have consequences.
And we don't know even the extent of those. We know they're having them. We don't know the extent of them.
Well, the consequences of the Obama administration's actions with respect to Israel are being felt today, and that's the truth. And I think it was an outrage, which we were able to expose through what? A Freedom of Information Act request that we made, that American taxpayer dollars were being used to defeat Netanyahu in a sovereign election in Israel. And you talk about collusion with, how about the collusion of the Obama administration to defeat duly elected, ultimately, Prime Minister of Israel.
Oh, they would never call that. You have a special counsel for that one? I mean, you're going to do that? Where the money went directly from the United States State Department to a group that was doing, their activity was trying to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu? So, I'm sure people are listening right now saying, oh, it's Sekulow is one of Trump's lawyers. He's saying there should be a special counsel. I don't think you need a special counsel for that. I think the Justice Department should be looking at it. The State Department Inspector General should be looking at it.
Right.
Because if there's an issue, look at it. All right, let's take another call.
All right, let's just try to get somebody's knocked out. Andy's calling in Wisconsin on line one. Thanks for holding, Andy.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, God bless you for all your work. Yep.
Thanks.
I have a comment, a question, a comment. I wonder how this can't be considered criminal activity, aiding a terrorist group by transferring money, aiding a terrorist group by allowing
This is the question between, is it a bad policy decision versus criminality? And those are two different scenarios. And I think it's important for us to understand here that in looking at these cases, specifically this one involving Iran Air, involving what was going on in the in kind of covering up the Iran negotiations? Was it criminal, which is a different standard, versus whether it was a bad policy? So I'll go to Andy on the criminality. That's a whole different standard and a whole different approach versus the policy.
In order to be criminal, there has to be a statute that was violated.
And criminal intent.
And we have to ask the question, what is the crime? And the crime involves two elements. The mental element of intending to commit the crime, the willfulness, the knowing, determined nature to violate the law, and an act in furtherance of that. Those two elements make up the crime, okay? And you may say, well, this was a crime, but in fact, what we look at is policy determinations that ultimately end up really facilitating criminal activity.
Because it is a policy here that does facilitate violations of international law, but to turn that into criminal is different than fixing the policy, Harry.
Absolutely. So I think with respect to the caller, I would suggest this. The Obama administration's approach was morally reprehensible, but that in and of itself is not a violation of the law. Number two, I would suggest that the Obama administration's approach was part of an insidious calculus to force Israel to the negotiating table and to grant additional concessions ultimately to the Palestinians, in part because the Obama administration was helping Iran, and Iran was helping who?
Yeah.
Hamas.
Right. And now they acknowledge it, by the way, that they patched up their relationship. You got a comment, Logan?
Yeah, a lot of comments come in. Wayne has just a question that I think a lot of people get asked. Do sanctions ever actually work?
So, Than, you're the head of our government affairs. Do sanctions actually work? Sometimes they do. They can get people to the table.
Well, I think more than anything, they identify the...
Go ahead.
Speaking clearly and with clarity is always the right thing to do. Whether or not sanctions alone get a regime like Iran to turn around is another point. I would just say this way. For people to understand this, they need to do two things. First of all, they need to read a little book called Unholy Alliance. You might have heard of it.
Yeah.
But secondly, you need to look at the entire narrative. Remember, this was an administration that was trying to level the playing field by taking the United States down a notch. We now have clear evidence of that. And, Jay, when the United States doesn't operate from a position of strength, this is always where we end up.
All right, folks, we're going to be here for one last segment. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. It can make a huge difference here. We encourage you to make that call. Get involved in the conversation.
Yep, there's one line open, like you said, 1-800-684-3110. You can still get your comments in online. But again, phone lines are open as we speak right now, 1-800-684-3110. 3110, and this is the last day of the month.
Yes, which means
August
it's the last
over.
Day for our matching challenge. This is the biggest day of the month for us at the ACLJ. I'd encourage everybody that's listening to this broadcast on radio, watching on Facebook or Periscope or ACLJ.org, whatever TV or platform you're watching us on, support the work of the ACLJ. Go to ACLJ.org right now. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. We'll be back with more, including your comments, in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200.
Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Fascinating program. We're last segment on it. 1-800-684-3110. We're going right back to the phones. We'll take comments as well. Let's go ahead.
All right, let's do it. Let's go in order. A lot of people have been hold, so let's see. Rich is on hold from Honolulu, Hawaii on line 3. You're on the air, Rich. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Rich. Go ahead.
Aloha, Jay.
Hi.
First of all, I can't thank you enough for all that you guys do.
Thanks. Good doing without you all.
I totally agree with you that we need to put sanctions on Iran. However, if we do put sanctions on Iran, it's likely they're going to respond by saying, okay, the nuclear deal is over, and then they're going to start ramping up their nuclear program.
I don't think they ever unramped their nuclear program. Right. Harry, go ahead.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Jay. I think they have continued their nuclear effort surreptitiously. And if you look at the particulars of the Iran nuclear deal, we don't even have the ability to independently verify compliance with the deal.
Right.
So the deal on its face makes little sense.
Yeah. So I don't think they ever went away from it. I think they're still engaged in it. And now letting them utilize Andy aircraft to move people around, and they say Syria, I'm sure it's more than Syria. Look, we're living in a world of delusion if we think the Iranians are living up to, quote, the agreement that was never in writing.
Well, I think Harry said in an earlier segment that the greatest thing about Obama is that he was a delusional person, and that's what he was. He was living under some illusion idea that he was going to remake the Middle East without having read the first history book about the Middle East, it appears to me. And now we've got a commercial airliner being used to send terrorists around the world to engage in terrorist activity. We need to do something about sanctioning that airliner.
And Than, is that going to move forward? I mean, what has to happen? And then we'll grab another call, Logan.
Absolutely.
Well, this can happen over at the Treasury Department. They do have to compare notes with Congress on this. My understanding, Jay, is that those conversations are already taking place right now. So I think Secretary Mnuchin has taken it very seriously. One other point on the conversation that Harry just had, you know, full compliance with the deal by Iran only pushed their nuclear program out 10 years. And now we know they're not complying.
Yep.
So they're clearly still ramping up that program.
No question about it. So can you get our offices in touch with the Secretary of Treasury and let them know what we've got here and what we found, and let's get a letter over to them urging that Iran Air be placed back on the sanction list.
We'll do it today, Jay.
All right, very good. All right, let's get going to the phone calls.
Yeah, let's go to Gene, who's calling on line 5 in California. You're on the air.
Hi, Gene.
Holden.
Hi, Jay. Hey. I thank you again for all the things that you're doing, uncovering the evil by shining a big light on it. My issue is this. Trump said in his rallies he was going to scrap the Iran deal, and he had the opportunity to do so when it came time to continue the inspections. And this was a big promise that he had in his campaign that he was going to scrap it. Even though we know other countries are involved, the PE8+1, I believe, even though they were trying to get into Iran to do business, how is it now?
Well, you're not going to be able to stop the other countries from engaging, okay? So the other countries, when the so-called deal went through, those other countries are already doing business with Iran. You can't unroll that. But you could say to Boeing, hey, wait a minute. We're not going to allow you to do business with, and we're not trying to be anti-business here, but with a regime that is sponsoring terrorism and utilizing your manufactured good to do that, which is precisely what seems to be happening, Andy, right now with the situation. Again, it's not knocking Boeing. It's just a fact that it's got to be dealt with. If the Iran Airlines is utilizing American aircraft, created aircraft, in order to shuttle around terrorists, we should not allow that in the United States of America as part of our policy.
That's exactly correct, and I believe the Trump administration is probably monitoring that now that we have exposed it. But it's important to realize that the ACLJ's Freedom of Information Act request and the litigation that we brought have exposed that and have brought it out to light so that we can now see what's going on.
Than already said that Secretary of Treasury Mnuchin is already looking at this. So we just got to push it forward now. All right, we got to try to grab more calls here.
All right, let's go to Karen in New Jersey on line 6. You're on the air, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, thank you for your work.
Thanks.
And the exposure provided. I have to say, I heard the caller earlier talk about the difference between committing the crime and the policy in place and how the policy prevents actual crime.
Right. Andy was talking about that.
To occur. But I have to say, the people, we the people, are so very frustrated. And we're frustrated because we ask, how do we prevent future administrations from committing similar crimes via policy against our republic, our constitution, without any serious punishment, such as jail or something? I mean, can the civil...
Well, it's not, again, it's you know, criminality. Andy already said that. I'll let him kind of rephrase it again. It's just, we're not looking, well, I'm going to say we're not looking. To show a criminal case is a different than a policy matter or being lied to the American people by officials. That's a different story. And that, there's no question they was hiding the ball here. They were hiding what was going on. But right now, what we've got to focus on is the actual... Putting someone in jail on this doesn't solve the problem.
No, it doesn't. And remember, as I said earlier, a crime involves a mental component and a physical component, an act of the mind of knowingly and intentionally doing something, and an act, an actual physical act. And I think what we do is by exposing these corrupt, and I think they are, policy determinations, we facilitate the correction of them. But the ultimate thing is elections. That's what makes the difference. Getting in good people in office who are committed to the American Republic and the Constitution and rooting out the deep state, which what we're doing every day we file a FOIA request.
That's exactly right. All right,
let's get Joe in St. Petersburg, Florida. Line 4, you're on the air.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, thanks for everything. First question is, knowing what we know now with the backroom deals and on the Iran deal,
yep,
does this maybe shed some light on the non-action of the Syria red line?
That's a very interesting, Harry. That's an interesting question.
That is a great question. And there are two responses. First, the Obama administration still was hopeful of improving relations with Russia. That's number one. And then number two, the Obama administration was attempting to negotiate this Iran nuclear deal. So they did not want to upset either Iran or Russia at the end of the day. And so they were prepared to hide the ball from the American people with respect to Iran's continuing support of terrorism.
All right, let's get the last call in.
All right, Victor in New York, you're on the air.
Hey, Victor, quick, please.
Real quick, guys. Listen, God bless you all. Thanks for all you do.
Thanks.
Real quick. You know, the thing is, we have to, going back to that lady, what you said about the criminality, we have to talk about what President Obama did so we don't make those mistakes again. What he did was, at the least, raising our eyebrows, and at the worst, treasonous. What's your opinion, Jay?
I think you got it right now. I think we got to fix policy. I mean, I think that criminality here, this is bad policy decision. So I want to focus on fixing the policy, because what we've established, what they did in 2013 and 14, which we've established in our lawsuits in 2016, are having impact in 2017. And that impact includes utilizing Iran Air, who needs to be re-sanctioned and put back on the sanctions list, to transport jihadists. And I think that in and of itself says why we got to fight hard. And it's exactly what we're doing. We'll keep you posted on this. We're our last day of our matching challenge campaign. If you appreciate the work of the ACLJ, and you've seen just one case today, if you appreciate that work, I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org right now, ACLJ.org, and support the work of the ACLJ by making an online contribution. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for at ACLJ.org, and a lot of ways to stay engaged with us during the week.
That's right. ACLJ.org is a great place to do it. You can also find us on social media at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, at ACLJ on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook and on iTunes.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org.